It is 4:35 on the Mike McFeely Show on the Mighty 790 KFGO on this Tuesday afternoon. And as promised, North Dakota Ag Commissioner Doug Goring joins the program now. And Commissioner Goring, I apologize. I messed up earlier. Thanks for coming to the program. I appreciate it.
No problem, Mike. No problem.
First of all, before we get to some other stuff, I want your thoughts on the farm bill passing today. We knew that it was going to pass through the Senate. Once it got through the House earlier, we knew that the Senate was going to vote for it. But with a 63-28 vote today, the farm bill was approved by the United States Senate. Obama has said he will sign it. So your thoughts on that happening? That's a big deal for North Dakota. That's a good thing for the state.
It's a long time coming. And there were some things that came out of this farm bill that I was pleased with at the end. Increased funding for the specialty crop block grant program. And that looks at, you know, some marketing, promotion, and research dollars for sunflowers, potatoes, flax, dry beans, chickpeas, peas, lentils. There was actually another provision in there, which this one caught me off guard also, which was for alfalfa and forage research. And that's kind of exciting because we really haven't put a whole lot into alfalfa and forage research in recent years. So we'll see what happens there. Livestock indemnity program was funded and made retroactive, which is good.
That's a big deal right there.
That's a big deal. It's been 2.5 years. We need some things to cover some of those gaps and shortfalls. And quite frankly, I know that some of those problems happened a while back, and they may only put a little bit of a Band-Aid on a few of those problems, but it's going to be good. Fully funded some of our trade programs like market access program and foreign market development. It reauthorizes the sugar program and the new ag risk coverage program and the price loss coverage program will be in place. There's some modifications to what they sort of look like some previous programs, but it's going to be enhanced crop insurance coverage and it's kind of a modified, if I may say, a countercyclical program that's going to work there, and some supplemental coverage law programs and options. So this, we needed this. We needed some certainty, and this is going to provide it. We did take some major cuts to this bill now. We no longer are going to have direct payments to producers. The only real government support that's going to be provided for production agriculture is going to come in the form of either this price loss coverage or in a crop insurance program.
Could North Dakota get by without a farm bill? Because this is a discussion we have in this program 100 times a year, and there's always those people who believe that farmers should and ranchers should just be like many other businesses and just have no safety net, no support, and just let the market bear what it will.
In my opinion, no, because there are things tied to it that continue to support the production of food, fiber, and feed for this nation. And although they continue to change and be modified in every farm bill based on what our current situation is, it kind of reflects where our markets are at, what our needs are. And certainly we've been getting waning support over the years, but it's still important to have certain things in place to ensure that the public has food on the table. And it's all about food security. It was 9 decades ago when the first federal farm program was created. And we are responsible for employing 9 to 19% of our nation's workforce indirectly here in North Dakota, about 25% of our state's workforce. So there's a lot tied to it, and people can't always connect the dots or see it, but it's very important that we do have a farm bill.
It is still the number one industry in North Dakota. Even though oil gets all the headlines, as you know, Commissioner Goring, agriculture still drives the ship here.
It does. It's our leading industry. I know that it's being challenged by energy, and we embrace both, but we got to always protect the resource. Agriculture will be here forever. It'll always be a primary sector of our economy. It'll always be a primary sector that the world will be looking to feed them, to employ them, and to make sure that we always have that resource available to enjoy and use.
North Dakota Ag Commissioner Doug Goring, our guests on the Mike McFeely Show on KFGO this afternoon. You have a challenger. You have a Republican challenger for your office in this year's election, Commissioner Goring. Judy Estenson officially announced today that she's going to challenge you for the office of Ag Commissioner as a Republican, although the news kind of started to leak out yesterday. She held a very brief media conference in Fargo this morning, didn't take any questions, wouldn't come on this program until a later date. Be that as it may. Your thoughts on that? Your thoughts on being challenged by a Republican?
Well, anybody can, seek and run for the office. They have the right to do that. However, I'm a bit put off by the fact that what's motivating this are allegations based on some untruths and some misconceptions. So I think that's unfortunate in itself. There's some things looming out there that aren't true. And I wish we could have addressed those things before all this kind of came out, but it is what it is now, and we can walk through and talk about each one of those things if you want to. That's not a problem.
What are the untruths? What are the things that she's getting at? Because she had some vague statements in her conference this morning, Commissioner Goring, but what is she talking about?
Well, there's some things that have been raised by a faction within the Farm Bureau. And keep in mind, Farm Bureau is where I came from. I have a lot of friends and good people there that are still very close friends, but there's a small faction that are upset with me, and I've been trying to kind of figure out what some of that's about. But there's been some allegations made about I'm not a strong advocate for private property rights. Well, first of all, I'm a landowner and a farmer, and if anybody looks at my record and looks at the whole issue that's been raised on these extraordinary places, that's exactly what I've been doing, is trying to make sure that we protect those private property rights, that the public can weigh in and have comments on public land. But I have real concerns with the public having comments or being able to influence land use that is privately owned. So I think that was unfair that they have been talking about those things within the organization. The other thing was on the fertilizer rules. We recently had to put some proposed draft rules together. This comes from some concerns that have been raised. First, agribusiness wanted to address some things, wanted to know what are the fertilizer rules, because Minnesota, South Dakota, Montana, all the states around us have some fertilizer rules. They're all a little bit different, but they're extensive to some degree. We've had accidental releases of liquid fertilizer in the state of North Dakota in recent years to the tune of 346,000 gallons. I have state and federal agencies looking at me a bit cross-eyed saying, Commissioner, you're responsible for the fertilizer program. What are you going to do to address this? And after some things have been raised, some stakeholder meetings, we felt it was only fair to be responsive and responsible and at least put something together, get comment back. They weren't onerous in with respect to what they were going to do to farmers, because we just needed to address issues with the tanks and vessels and valves on farms, because we had farmers out there using water tanks and putting liquid fertilizer in them. Well, the construction material is a little bit different. Its ability to hold up in those types of conditions caused some concern, and that was probably the biggest thing that we asked for and looked for, at least proposed, and it still was open as a draft in a proposal, and that was distorted and taken out of context. What some of the other things were.
The other thing that she brought up was your personal interaction and your office management, and I think that goes back to some allegations of some, I think what you deemed in an email as some politically incorrect stuff you did. And if you'd address that, that would be appreciative.
Well, and what this is, and I'll try to put it in the proper context. We were out of town at a meeting. I had a bad backache for a couple days. I was getting severe headaches. And as we were finishing up and leaving, I had asked two of my staff, I asked one of them if they would crack my back. And they did. And then what happened is we got to the airport, we're at the restaurant, there's a group of people around, men and women, And I was trying to do emails and catch up some of my office work. And this waitress just would not leave me alone, insisted I needed order. And finally, I just said, you know, I'll eat off someone's plate here. And she seemed to be somewhat offended by that. And I just looked up and I jokingly, I suppose, or at least that's how I meant it, I said, well, it's my harem. And I left it at that. I didn't even think about it at the time. And then a couple months later, there was a complaint that was filed, and Human Resource Department fully investigated it and did interviews. And I felt bad about it, and I did apologize and wanted to address this issue. I talked with HR. I did some training programs that they had there, and then I actually asked them to do some of those for us and the entire department, because there's times that sometimes we just aren't sensitive and realize that how our actions or words are interpreted. We just need to be mindful of that. So that's what was behind that. I talked to those.
Were there any charges, or were there any? Did you receive any penalty for those things, Commissioner, or was the apology to the staff and to the office, did that cover it?
Well, HR felt there was no action deemed necessary, and I did apologize. The employees, the staff, said that they knew there was no ill will. They didn't. They just wanted me to be aware that they thought it was inappropriate, and I agree. I fully agree and understand, and we just continue to try to create a professional environment around here. Got great staff, great people, and I'm happy to work with all these fine people here at the North Dakota Department of Agriculture.
Do you believe that this campaign is going to become a smear campaign against you if this is the way that Ms. Estenson started it off today? Because I would say that if she starts off her press conference by bringing up this stuff, it's going to be a long, nasty campaign, Commissioner.
Well, I would have to agree. I don't know how else to see it, but I'm hoping that my entire record certainly gets viewed and looked at, because the ag community has been so supportive. In fact, this morning throughout the day, all the emails and texts and calls I've received, I've had to delete my voicemail twice and delete a whole bunch of texts because I'm just running out of room. People so supportive, friends, people in the ag community, a lot of Farm Bureau members that don't agree and weren't happy about how this transpired and what was going on. And I appreciate that. That's meaningful and wonderful, and I thank them.
Do you believe that the majority of Farm Bureau members are in line with people like Judy Estenson and Eric Osmonstad, or do you believe that the majority of them are not in line with what they believe?
I don't believe that the majority of them are. I've been told by those that are closer to this thing on the inside, this is a handful. It's a faction within Farm Bureau.
Okay. Commissioner Gorning, we're out of time. I need to let you go. Thank you very much for coming on. Thanks for being up front with us. I appreciate it. And come back again anytime, okay?
Thanks, Mike.
Yep, you bet. Bye. Doug Gorning, he is the Ag Commissioner of the state of North Dakota.